This is The Hardline, the greatest show on earth.
Well, maybe just in St. Louis.
At a full-blown freak show, something to see.
Got them lined up
and waiting, taking bullets for me.
I'm a Mack truck.
I'm chucking down a one-way street.
You better move, dance.
My tank's on E.
The Hardline with TJ Moe, Cam Jansen, John Hadley, Bob Ramsey, and who the hell else knows?
It is The Hardline, 59 The Fan, KFNS, 59TheFan.com, TJ Moe, Bob Ramsey, Matthew Rocchio with you today. John Hadley out all week, so all of you that tune in for the first minute to tune right out when the fat man says hello, you can stick around. Why wouldn't you stick around? I think now is
Hang
the time.
With us.
Hang with us. And also, I would imagine now is the time of the year. It is perhaps the first time since the 70s that we take this long to dive into deep Cardinal talk, but it's coming, and we're finally there. And last night, for the first time, Bob, I was legitimately interested without distraction in watching the Cardinals game. Truly, there was so much
always
going
something
on.
Something else
with the NBA finals, the NHL stuff going on, and the Blues being in it. I was, even during Cardinals games, I was oftentimes looking up and reading stuff about the Blues for tomorrow's show.
Right.
Didn't happen last night.
Right.
Last night, I was able to sit down and actually watch Miles Michaelis pitch well, which I have not seen since last year because what he has not pitched very well. And you saw, I think there were things to like about last night, but more than anything, I mean, we'll get into the game in a moment. I was actually watching a Cardinals game without distraction
to watch
for the first
Cardinal
time
game. Yeah.
On June 17th.
Isn't that crazy?
Has that ever happened
no,
in Cardinals history?
It has never happened.
I mean, even you were distracted.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, without question.
You are as big a baseball purist as anybody in this city.
But without question, when you talk about everything that was going on here, obviously in particular hockey, but over the course of the beginning of the baseball season with some big golf tournaments and some other things, it seemed like there were many other distractions all along the way, even the NBA finals and all those things. And so I agree. Yesterday was maybe that first day.
Maybe that's all they needed was us to pay attention a little bit, start playing better ball.
Hmm.
You
might be bigger than
I know this. Fan support, Bob, goes a little further. It's immeasurable.
Well, if we can't measure it, what are we going to do about it?
I'm just saying if they start winning, it's obviously helping. Maybe. 855-282-8255. Your thoughts are welcome. Let's open with the Cardinals here. We do have a few things that Washington Post is driving me nuts just with the stupidity. We're going to talk some
fake
more.
Fake news?
That is the Washington Post. By the way, that is Fox News. That is, you know, everybody sort of knows which way I lean if you've been listening to this show for any amount of time. There is no such thing as real news these days. Really. The president tweets out fake news every day. And then because so much of the news is actually aggregated, nobody's giving true news ever. Fox, CNN, anything. We're going to talk about all that down the road here, too, in the OJ thing. We briefly got into the OJ thing. And actually, I did not give Rock. I felt bad at the end of the hour yesterday. We said we're going to talk KD and AD, thank you. And it turns out at the end we talked about it for about 3 minutes. So we're actually going to break that down today.
This is why we shouldn't abbreviate things, TJ. It's slowly just rotting our brains away.
It's so true.
Without
so
question.
True.
We got to say Kevin Durant. We got to say Anthony Davis. Or where will we be 20 years from now?
Saying KD and AD properly.
Or saying who were those guys.
You know, I tried to get the ball rolling down the hill, and you very securely stopped it.
At least you didn't go by their numbers.
Listen, so I have no idea what Anthony Davis' number is going to be. He's 23 in New Orleans. I don't know if he's 41. He's a marketing idiot because who would actually want to wear 41 if you weren't Dirk Nowitzki? That was like the one that everyone photoshopped him with. But I have no idea what his number is.
Yeah,
so I can't do it right now. 35 on the other hand, it's going to be rough without him for a year with that ankle injury.
Let's talk a little bit.
I had to do it.
All right, here we go. Miles
Michaelis. And 11 too with that ACL.
Yeah, 11's tough.
Miles Michaelis yesterday, finally, and he's had a few good ones. Yesterday, six innings pitched, six hits, did not walk. In fact, there was not a single walk given up by the Cardinals by any pitcher yesterday. I think they ended up going through four. Lowered his ERA to a 4.48. And he has been, Michaelis has been as much as anybody, and I don't know where this came about, but he has been a home and road.
Big difference, yeah.
His now, when you look at his.
Whoa, hey, what happened? Whoa, stop.
I thought that was me. That's the first time it's ever happened when Hadley wasn't in the room, so it's very confusing. He has been a totally different cat when you look at his home and road splits. His ERA now, this is astounding. 2.55 ERA at home in eight starts. On the road in seven starts, he has a 7.76 ERA. So he has one more start at home, but he's actually pitched 22 more innings at home because he's been so bad on the road, he's getting yanked. Strikeouts are way down, nearly double, 39 to 22 when you're talking about home versus the road. Walks are about the same, but that tells you when you're pitching 20 more innings, 22 more innings, and you have about the same walks, he actually has one more walk on the road. He's a totally different cat, and for being the veteran on this staff right now, Wainwright out, hopefully back by this Friday, you cannot have that. I mean, that he was the guy that you came back to who was your, you know, Waino used to call it a stopper? Somebody's got to be our stopper.
Right.
And
stop
he was
a losing streak.
And this year he's not it if he's not at home.
And it's hard to fathom.
What is your take on that?
I don't have a take. I think it's unless somebody can come up with something concrete about travel with a particular individual, I think a lot of it has to do with luck and focus and concentration and those sort of things. Otherwise, it's somewhat inexplicable. Traditionally, you can get home road variables in minor ways. Like if you said you had a 300 hitter and he hit 310 at home and 290 on the road, you'd go, okay. You know, but if a guy hit 500 at home and never got a hit on the road, well, that doesn't make any sense at all.
Right.
You know, it's so some variables, yes, but a dramatic one, it's really hard to figure out. I don't have an answer. If there was an answer, they'd be working on it. They'd say what it is and they'd be working on it. It doesn't make sense.
And we do this thing.
And by the way, keep in mind, pardon my interruption. This is not to insult the Marlins or denigrate a good performance. The big leagues are the big leagues.
They were playing the Marlins.
Thank you.
That is true. However, well, it'd be interesting to see, actually. I can look that up right now, who he has been playing on at home versus the road. That does play into it, certainly.
Right.
The other thing is this. We did the opposite with the Blues, and you come up with whichever way it skews, you come up with all the reasons for that. Well, look, they can't focus on them. There's too many distractions. Petro's got triplets. We did all that.
Right.
And they were really good on the road. Sometimes guys are just more comfortable on the road. Sometimes they're more comfortable at home, and there's no real explanation. And when it's just individuals, at least, we never did explain it for Jake Allen, right? Jake Allen could not make a save at home. Actually, by the end of the year, he was really freaking good on the road. Sometimes you can't really explain it. And when it's a pitcher, you have no chance. That's the problem, right? Pitchers, goalies, quarterbacks, you don't really have this in basketball. But those three positions, if they suck, you stand no chance. If Tom Brady throws five interceptions, the Patriots suck. There's no getting around. Doesn't matter if they got the greatest coach in the history of the road. Throw three pick sixes and two other picks, you're done.
Yeah.
Not a chance in hell. If Jake Allen lets in five, you're done. And if Miles Michaelis lets up four bombs in the first inning, that's it.
Let me twist everybody's brain a little bit more. Look at Michaelis' last four starts. His last two starts against Miami. No earned runs in six, five earned runs in five. Same team. Facing the same team, one time at their place, one time at your place. How about this one? At home against the Cubs, one earned run in seven innings. You go to Wrigley Field, you're out in four innings. You gave up three runs and you're out of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Same teams you're facing. I don't know. If I thought I had a handle on it, I'd call Mosalak. I'd call Schultz. Say, hey, you
got
to fix this.
You got
this.
Their number?
I have Mosalak's number.
Well, let's get him on the phone and ask him.
What are you doing?
Mo, what the hell is going on here? We do know this. two games back from the Cubs, who were idle last night. Brewers lost last night. You're 2.5 back from the division lead after having close to your worst May in the history of the club.
Yeah.
You're right there. Now, there's a million different ways you can go about this. If you are a let's forget where the Brewers are and the Cubs. And
I try to.
You can't do this when you're actually trying to give your outlook of a season. But I think when you're giving an outlook of a team, you can't. Forget everybody else. You are encouraged or discouraged about this team. Forget everybody. Forget where they are in the division and all that. Because I think if you take that, if you take them out of context and say, I just want to evaluate this team, then you probably, this season certainly, come up with a different conclusion than when you put it in the context of worst May ever, two of your biggest, your two best bats suck right now. Both of them are, Matt Carpenter is below league average in weighted runs created plus. He's at 98. Paul Goldschmidt, who's a top five hitter in the entire majors, is a 108. He's 8% above. They both suck. They're terrible, and they're your big bombs, right? So when you have that going and you're only 2.5 games back where you are, I think that's a positive outlook. But take it out of the context and tell me whether you are encouraged, discouraged. What is your takeaway from this team right now?
Guardedly encouraged.
Okay. And so go through some positions and such.
Because I see if my players can have average years, team's pretty darn good.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is you got too many guys having below average years. Mm-hmm. That's the problem. And then if you dive a little bit deeper, do you think there are a couple of players there that are not capable of achieving their career averages? Fowler's been playing pretty good, but can he be who he was, say, 4 years ago? Can he be his average guy? And I got to tell you, I have to be honest, even though he was really terrific last night, and we can talk about the strangeness and the range of performance on Matt Carpenter, I'm concerned he can have an average year at this point. Really concerned. And as the leadoff guy, makes a difference. When he's not hitting, which he hasn't been all year, the team has trouble. So what happens last night? He's on base three times. They win. It's not a coincidence.
And he bunted for a double.
He bunted for a double.
Okay, this is to get back to your, not to rip on the Marlins, but they're so terrible. To be in that position with one strike, how stupid do you have to be? Guys move those places with two strikes occasionally because you bunt and you tip it, foul tip, you're out. With one strike to be able to bunt it to the outfield, how stupid do the Marlins have to be?
Yeah, I don't want to defend them, but in a pretty shallow way, I can see they're going, this guy, 1 in 100 times, he goes the other way. He's trying to pull everything.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very shallow look at it. Proof. And the proof is in what happened.
Right.
And I was texting a buddy of mine, a baseball guy, last night after it. And it was great. It was a neat deal. And I think, in fact, we'll play highlights of it here in a minute. But it was terrific, and the bunt was great. And it's easier to bunt than get a base hit on a swing, obviously. But it used to be that every hitter had to practice hitting the ball the other way. And you usually do it with ease. You flip it out. You realize you're not trying to hit a home run there.
Mm-hmm.
You're not trying to pull the ball over the fence and hit a home run. You're trying to hit the ball the other way. Native St. Louis and former Cardinal and Red Sox player Scott Cooper said Carl Yastrzemski once told him there's a lot of RBIs in left field. They were left-hand hitters, so that meant going the other way. A lot of RBIs the other way. If they open it up for you, take it. You know, and it's pretty common in any kind of sport where there's a defense, take what the defense gives you.
Right.
Right?
Absolutely.
If they're giving it to you, take it. Take it. There are exceptions. What got me was they went over to an extreme shift, and the ball was a little bit away. Now, did he miss with the pitch? Or sometimes you do that anyway because you're so convinced the hitter's going to pull it that even away they roll it over, and it's
right.
An easy ground ball to the right side on a left-hand hitter.
Mm-hmm.
So this is me. While I said I was guardedly optimistic on the Cardinals, as soon as they did it, there was that little frustrating guy in the back of my mind. Why don't we hit the ball the other way all the time?
Yeah.
It took a little bit of the joy of the moment.
Let's roll back to your encouragement for a moment. Carpenter never figured out how to hit it the other way last year. He hit it over the shift over and over and over again, and he was a doubles machine. Doubles and home runs. He ended up, leading the NL in home runs?
For half the season.
Yeah. Well, I think he ended up leading it for the whole year. I meant
he was a machine for half the
season. Yeah, exactly right. So he was in a similar position to right now. Now, before, it looked a little bit different, and the underlying metrics told us that was the likely outcome. Right now, the underlying metrics do not tell us that is the likely outcome. However, point is, if you can hit it over the shift, great. If you can find a gap, which is what traditionally Paul Goldschmidt and Matt Carpenter find gaps like almost nobody else in the league, mm-hmm. and they both accidentally hit it over the fence a lot. These guys are legit power guys. Now, Goldschmidt isn't struggling the same way with the shift and such, maybe because it doesn't happen. But with Carpenter, where he is right now has put Goldschmidt largely in this problem, because I think when you start to Ozuna has gone up and down this year, right? He's been really good for a little bit, and then he slumped for a little bit, and then he's been really good for a little bit. And what has happened? You had Paul DeJong right in front of him getting on base, and so he's cranking out RBIs, which is something you can look at to get confidence. Dude, I'm struggling right now, but I got 50-something freaking RBIs. I'm crushing the ball. Right now, Paul Goldschmidt doesn't have any of that because he has hit second for most of the year, finally moved back to third. And I was just looking up the stats here. This is atrocious. The leadoff guy, the batting first in the order when he was second for most of the year, this is the split. For the whole season, the person batting first is batting .204, has an on-base of .310, and they're slugging .350. That's an OPS of .660. Okay?
Putrid.
So, and they also are getting no luck, right? .253 is batting average of balls in play. So there's no luck, and they suck. At least, right?
That's a really bad combination.
So then you have a guy, Paul Goldschmidt, who's going up. Derek Gould talked about this. He had a really good chat yesterday. And he published the highlights today, and he was kind of talking about this. He's like, for Paul Goldschmidt, he either hits himself in or he hits nobody in, because there's never anybody on base when he walks up there. And now that's changing a little bit with Paul DeJong in front of him and hopefully Carpenter coming around. Hopefully. We have one day to say that's the hope, but three hits yesterday. But it is a really discouraging thing when you feel like, this is like being on the Marlins. You got one guy, or Marlins a couple years ago even, where you're like, okay, well, it's just me out here, so I hope I hit well today, mm-hmm. or we suck. That's kind of where he is. You don't have anybody, at least. Dude, just get a piece of something and you get an RBI. Give me something. When you're sucking at everything, feeling totally overwhelmed, and I imagine there's a little bit of that feeling when you sign a major contract in a new city that lives and breathes baseball. Just give me anything to be encouraged by. I don't know. Everybody has this weird tendency, at least I do, and I think most people do, where if you get in a new situation and you're extremely uncomfortable, you reach for things for encouragement that you never cared about before, and that you would say, that's stupid, I don't need that.
Right.
Because you were so good at everything mm-hmm. else. So it's like you would actually, when I started to play receiver at Missouri, I started catching the balls that I caught, not the ones that I dropped. Whereas my entire life, it's like if I dropped one, I was ready to light somebody on fire. At Mizzou, I had to go the other way for a little while to say, well, I caught three today in traffic, and that was good. Forget the nine that I dropped. That's okay. I got to grab onto something that I was good at. Your brain sort of switches. So if you have RBIs, somebody gets on base, and you hit a pop-up to right, and a guy gets home, great, that's something. I still didn't get a piece of it, but
we
something
like to call
happened.
It grasping at straws, and I believe.
And it works, though, for your confidence. You have something to grab onto.
Unless you completely fail after that.
Yeah, that's right.
But yes.
And Goldschmidt's getting no help at all. That's what
no,
I'm
he's
at.
Not. Let's go back to the Carpenter thing. Play Rock, if you would, and because I think that all ties together into what you're saying. Carpenter last night, Danny Mack on the call.
Carpenter against the shift. Nobody there. Why not take two? It'll be the shortest double of his career standing up. Unbelievable. Why not bunt? Of course you bunt. And he picks up a double.
And Carpenter afterwards had this to say about it.
I had a pretty good feeling that if I could get it down, that there was that was in play, just because I saw the way they were communicating, and the shortstop was pretty adamant about it was the pitcher's ball.
So, two things going on here. One, my nagging issue about not working on hitting the other way I'm not talking about bunting. I'm talking about hitting the other way. And how, in particular, with Carpenter as the leadoff guy, not being on base, which ties to your thing about Goldschmidt, getting people on base in front of the guys who can do the most damage. And I think those two things are tied together. They've got to get on base more. And in particular, because of where Carpenter has been put in the lineup, he has to get on base, base more and more consistently. Just got to happen, or this team's going to continue to struggle.
So again, let's go back and pull things out of context for a moment. If you're just looking at the team today, you're cautiously optimistic and guardedly optimistic, I think you said. And then you look and you're like, okay, Dexter Fowler's batting fifth. That if Fowler, who he is today, and he's averaging 244. Look, he's fine. He had a nice hit yesterday, 3-run homer. That
yeah,
helps.
Good ball game.
He is a league average hitter. His OPS plus is 104. He's league average. That's who he is. And he's hitting fifth for you.
If he's hitting seventh, you're delighted.
Exactly, right? And then you have Molina, who's...
Yeah, if my seventh-place hitter is just an league average, then yeah, I'm giddy. As long as he's not negative war, I'm happy.
Right, right. But that's not where we are, right?
Oh, wait, no, he's betting what again?
Fifth.
Oh, dear God!
And then you have Molina, who's not... He's been bad. So you have these, and he's batting six right now. So you have 1 through 4, and you have a lot of hope in number 1 and number 3, who aren't doing anything. Number 2 and number 4 are actually hitting well for the season, and have largely carried you to this point.
Yeah, and Paul, by the way, had a month where he was as bad as the club.
Yep.
But he had so good in April, I mean, it didn't ruin his season, and now it looks like he's back.
Yes, Paul DeJong, yes. So 1 through 4, you're like, yeah, okay.
Yes.
5 through 9, you're like...
And that's why 1 through 4 have to be really good.
Yeah.
They have to be.
But they should not have to be, is kind of what I'm getting at.
If you've put together a championship team,
right,
you should be able to have folks pick up those guys.
So we are, we haven't even gotten to the rotation yet, which is full of holes and needs to add a top line guy ASAP, but we will get there. If you're just talking about what we thought would be, okay, you wanted Michael Bradley.
Brantley.
Or whoever. Bottom line.
Just to be clear, there's no Americans who want Michael Bradley anymore. We've been off that train for like 2 World Cups now. No one wants Michael Bradley.
All right, well.
Thanks, soccer boy.
Thanks, bro. No, nobody wanted us to. Point is, you could have had the other another bat at some point. You decided to go and stick with Fowler. Jose Martinez did not come through. He largely should be that other bat and just has not been.
They gave him an opportunity, and he was good for a while, but then he went quiet.
Mm-hmm.
My guy, and it slipped through his fingers.
Colton Wong, we've talked about this. We talked about this a lot last year, and you and I were not doing the show together at that time. But Colton Wong is a really great piece, perhaps, to a championship team. He's almost tough to put on an average to below average team because he's so streaky and at times offers absolutely nothing at the plate at all. So when you have a guy and you're like, this is the guy who's supposed to be hitting 8 and all that works, 7th, 8th, sure, that's fine. You don't need much out of him. He offers some power. He's fast, he's athletic, but he's an unbelievable Gold Glove fielder. That's really great. As long as you have a really good 1 through 7, put the 8th guy out there and he's Gold Glover. That's awesome all day long on a championship team. But he becomes a guy that we complain about when you're on a team that can't hit. And that's kind of where we are right now. We're not aiming our guns at Colton Wong, but he sucks too.
He is being who he is. He's playing at about a Colton Wong average,
mm-hmm.
which is, again, if you had that guy and he's hitting 8th, you're fine.
That's right.
You're fine. But the problem is, you got Harrison Bader, who has not come along offensively. You need Dexter Fowler to be more. Molina, you know, he had the thumb and the wrist, and he's battling through it. I'm confident he'll be better. To me, it still goes back to you need another big bat, and you need somebody at leadoff consistently getting it done.
Bader batting 135 with runners in scoring position this year.
Well, it's because they throw him breaking balls off the plate, and he can't stop swinging at him.
Mm-hmm. Harrison Bader is exactly league average as a hitter. Obviously, not very good with that split, but he's exactly league average. Your big holes right now Matt Carpenter, who is below league average OPS, has a 95 OPS plus. You have Yadier Molina, who's sitting at a 76 OPS plus, which, look, for him, he's never going to be a great OPS guy because he doesn't offer. His on-base is just always, you know, average to below average. He's a 287 on-base right now. So, like, he's just going to be fine. He's a contact hitter and whatever. That's never going to be great. But when you have a bunch of guys who look like this, and you have one dude, really two with Ozuna, who are even in the 120s, 20% over. That's not, look, there are guys out there that are 50% over OPS average. Then you're sitting in a place where you're like, okay, I hope. When does the hope run out, right? We're now to a place, right? What's the flag day quote that you guys throw out? We're here.
Yeah, we are here. And then going back to Matt Carpenter, you're looking at a big picture and how it all fits. I'm even looking at a small picture. I need Matt Carpenter just to be the average Matt Carpenter. That's a 374 on base. What is he now? 334, which isn't god-awful, but it's not good enough.
Right.
We need him to be average him, not great him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's had, you know, 384, 392. You know, he's had years pushing 400 on base, not even asking for that. Just be your average self. The club is desperate for that. Desperate.
I don't think. Let's backtrack a little bit here. So throwing it back in context. Okay, full of holes. Right now, all you're doing is beating up on bad teams to get you back in it to some degree. You play the.
But you have to do that.
That's true.
Again, you have to do that because the five hardest schedules in baseball are the five teams in the Central Division.
Mm-hmm.
That's gonna be. That's what it's gonna be for the entire year, unless there's some weird point where they just all just kill each other and it somehow falls off. That's what you're doing. You're in the hardest division in baseball, and if you don't just pick off every single non-central team for two or three or a sweep, the math's probably never gonna match up to you catching up to the Cubs. Bottom line,
yeah,
I guess the Brewers technically because they're in first.
I hear you to some degree, but you still get to play the Reds here, and you still get to play the Pirates here, and. Right, so you have about, you really have 40 games or so, even less than that, against the good teams, and then you still beat up. Your problem here, and you've had one of the toughest schedules in Major League Baseball so far. However, where you're sitting and with the lineup that you have and the pitching problems that you have, I'm not too worried about the bullpen at this point. Thank you, John Gant, who has largely saved the bullpen. But you start to worry about the bullpen if some of your solutions come true. If John Gant leans the bullpen, I'm worried. And that's the only thing today that you're like, okay, that helps the starting rotation, but it doesn't fix it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have a fix. I think at this point, and you're starting to see things happen early, you start saying, what's it going to take to go get Max Scherzer or Madison Bumgarner or Trevor Bauer or whoever it is? And I wouldn't take your top prospect. I wouldn't throw Dylan Carlson out there and say, hey, what can we get for this guy? But I think you start saying, well, even if it's a rental, you missed playoffs for three straight years, and you went and made a huge trade on one side. You probably need to go make a huge trade on the other side and get a real pitcher.
Yeah, to go back to what you're saying about the bullpen has been just short of great.
Mm-hmm.
It's been really, really good. A couple of hiccups from being absolutely great. You want your closer to be dominant. He's been really, really good, if you know, but not quite dominant. Wouldn't you say that's fair?
Yes.
For Hicks?
Yep. He hadn't been out there enough to be dominant.
Right. But, I mean, Gant and Gallegos mm-hmm. have been off the charts. Miller yeah. has been good for several weeks, and his overall numbers are good. And even a guy that everybody kind of, gives the stink eye to. Ty Webb is better than average at the back of your bullpen. The bullpen's been good. The rotation, each of the starters has given you a flash, but that's not good enough.
That's right.
You're not getting good consistency. And that's where we got to figure something out.
Are you comfortable throwing Waka back out there right now?
I'm not, no. No, I'm really not.
I'm not either. And you know, nice, you can beat up on a bad team, which you did once, but where he is today, and you know whether he's compromised or you never know with these guys. You know, especially a guy who's in going to be what is a contract year.
Mm-hmm.
You try to fight through it and not be the ultimate. Like if you can finally not get injured on your contract year, you're going to make yourself millions. No matter if you've been injured every year before that, he can finally get through, show his stuff. So it would make sense that he would be fighting through something if there is some sort of impingement or whatever you'd like to call it in his shoulder again. But you're running out of options. Gomber is still not ready. And by ready, I mean healthy. He hadn't pitched since, what was it, May 21st?
And Reyes hasn't, obviously, not
Reyes
ready for the big leagues.
Bad.
Yeah.
Now, the question is, because we actually saw this to some degree when he was down and came up the first time going back 3 years, he really struggled with control. And then he came up to big leagues and was great.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if you throw him down there and say, just get your head straight and come back up. I don't even care how you perform down there. Because I think that's got to happen sooner than later. He's one of your five best arms. I don't think there's any doubt about it.
Yeah, I think the evaluation there has got to be somebody with eyes on him, repeatable deliveries and that sort of things, and recovering and all that stuff, which should come there. I think in the short term, you're looking at Ponce de Leon, and it sure looks like everything's leaning towards Carlos Martinez getting back in the rotation, mm-hmm. which scares me a little bit.
But are you doing split starts then? He's not built up and ready
He's
to go.
He's not built up. Yeah, I think this transformation will probably be over a few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And then they could, and then that at that time it could include Reyes. I think the rotation is in a metamorphosis, and I don't know where it's going to end up. It'll have, because only performance will tell you. And I don't know how Ponce de Leon is going to perform. I don't know how Martinez would perform, even giving you five inning starts. I don't know how Reyes would perform with Waka needing to have more starts. I don't know,
mm-hmm.
and so it's. To be able to predict it, but that's kind of a scary thing. A huge part of your team has got to be, for any championship team, is your starting rotation. There's got to be some predictability there.
Absolutely.
And you're just up in the air, and that's not a good place to be.
And the best you got right now is Dakota Hudson. And
who a month ago...
we were ready to throw out.
And I was ready to send, and I still think at the time, going to the minor leagues for a couple of starts wouldn't have been a bad thing. Turns out he was able to work it out, and he's fine and doing very well.
But as we've seen, especially this year with Flaherty as a nice reminder, young guys can fall off the wagon tomorrow and then just
easy.
Lose it.
Yep.
So you don't put your eggs in the Hudson basket. I hope he has a year similar to what Flaherty had last year. Flaherty has fallen off the wagon. You do not know what you're getting from Jack Flaherty right
no.
now.
No.
You don't know what you're getting from Miles Michaelis right now. You don't know what you're getting from Adam Wainwright, albeit – as the fifth starter, some of the starts that he's been able to put out, you're like, that's great for a fifth starter. Other starts, you're saying, well, he's your fifth starter. He's going to give you those every once in a while. I'm fine with what Wainwright offers as the fifth starter, but in what you have today, Waka's been the worst of the bunch, which is why he's been out.
It's been really bad.
So you're with a group of, who is the, forget the stopper, because you don't have an ultimate anybody. I don't even know who your best pitcher is. It's Dakota Hudson today, but he's had half the season has been bad. You don't have one guy that you feel confident in. Not a single one. His name is John Gant. He's not a starting pitcher.
Yeah, he's your best pitcher.
And is he that good as a starter?
Yeah, that's my question. How much do you weigh his success right now and extrapolating that to a starter? Can you know weigh that with the fact that he was a solid starter last year? And how much do you expect to lose off his efficiency once you start giving him six innings?
Well,
a game?
About 6 weeks ago is when I would have put him into the rotation. I don't know if you'd change it now. Maybe you do, but I'm not sure.
I wouldn't.
Why not change it now? Because the starting pitching situation has arguably gotten worse since that point.
Your ball club has one thing it can hang its hat on right now, the bullpen. And I'll be honest, I'm afraid to mess with it.
I'm totally, fear, as I told you.
Driven by fear.
I feel good about it right now. Take John Gant out. I don't feel good about it anymore.
Yeah, and that's where I think Ponce de Leon and Martinez might be those first choices to breach the gap.
Oh, that's weird. My first choice is Max Scherzer. Get it done.
By the way,
those are my second and third choices.
Over the weekend.
I stand corrected. You are right.
Over the weekend, I saw what it's like when you actually have zero prospects in both your starting pitching and your bullpen. When I watched the Rockies and the Padres, that's not baseball I really want to watch.
15-14, was that it?
That was the Sunday game. I watched the Saturday game, which again was the Rockies ace, which is a terrible description for him. He pitched a solid game, but I think there was a point where it was like, he was still having an okay game, and they'd given up 7 runs at one point. It's not as bad as with those teams, but it can get pretty bad quickly is all I'm saying.
Yes.
There's not much between the Cardinals and those bottom pitching teams is the problem. There's potential, a lot more potential, both in some of the veterans we still have and the farm system, but it can get ugly pretty quick.
Farm system for pitchers is getting empty. Now you've come up with position players getting there. You had pitchers out the ass 3 years ago. Now you have emptied that, which is why they went back to the well this year and drafted some pitchers early on. They know where they sit. And your problem is you've traded some of them away. You needed to. Weaver, who's actually had a pretty good bounce back here this year. Marco Gonzalez, who's been pretty good. Like, you've traded away some of them. Others just have not worked that well or aren't working that well right now. I think Flaherty ultimately is going to be very, very good.
There's no reason he shouldn't.
Right. And I think Hudson, actually, I'm not convinced. Hudson may be a little more Weaver than Flaherty, but that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Weaver this year would have been fine on this staff. You just don't have the guys right now. You don't have the horses. You don't want, in my opinion, you don't want Ponce de Leon to be an everyday starter on a really good team. I think he's a nice step-in guy when your guys are struggling. I don't think he's the guy. So you better go find that guy. And you need a high-end starter. And if Carlos Martinez, who you paid $50 million to be that guy, is going to be in your bullpen, you better go get another one.
And the other guy is Reyes, who they put all their chips on him. All their chips. All in on him. And he's let him down.
Hey, boys and girls, guess what? At Smoothie King, there is a new foam cup. So what happened was you had the old styrofoam cup.
Yeah.
And they got rid of them to be more aware of the environment and such, because styrofoam takes it's something like 400 years to decompose, and they're not even sure how much of it decomposes in those 400
years. But if you burned
years.
It, I'm sure those fumes would... Oh, never mind. Go ahead. Was that wrong?
Nope, don't do that.
We'll just throw in the water. Never mind. Okay, you're right.
Build an island.
Yeah, I'm on board with
on
you.
Accident.
What's the
so
island?
You've changed.
So, well, okay, so they went to plastic cups, which are recyclable and such, right? And plastic can be good. Certain types of plastic. Some
certain
plastic
types.
You can't actually do. They have come back with a better foam cup. This is not actually styrofoam. We're calling it styrofoam. It's not styrofoam. It is 92% biodegradable over 4 years. So it is a biodegradable foam cup, not styrofoam itself.
Good for Smoothie King.
Yeah, so they have figured
That's
that
awesome.
Out. Now, here's what it is. St. Louis is the only market who's rolling this out right now, and it is a test period. I can tell you that it unequivocally, John Hadley, keeps it colder longer. Styrofoam or foam of any sort, that's why you don't see plastic coolers walking around, right? You have styrofoam coolers because it keeps stuff cold. It will sit in your car. My dad got one on the way to the lake the other day. 2 hours later, it was actually still smoothie instead of just liquid at the bottom.
Uh-huh, okay.
That's what foam does. The other thing is, it does not sweat all over your hand, right? When you have a plastic cup, go to QT or somewhere, and you have ice in it for a while, you go to pick it up, your hands all wet.
Yep.
Styrofoam,
condensation.
Foam does not do that. But it's a trial period. So what needs to happen is you need to go order that. They will ask you, do you want the new foam cup? You say yes, it's biodegradable, still good for the environment and such. And also, you need to fill out a survey. At the bottom of your receipt, there will be a survey. Go to smoothiekingfeedback.com. Go tell them you love the foam cup. If the satisfaction is enough after this 30-day period, they will keep those permanently. So that would be my recommendation to all you Smoothie Kingers who want a better experience. You have colder drinks, less condensation on your hands, and it will be better overall for everyone.
And they're in Smoothie King right now.
They're in Smoothie King right this second, and I would recommend the Pineapple Pure Recharge if you like about 170 milligrams of caffeine. Put a little pep in your step, Bob. That would be my recommendation.
I am aware. I have witnessed it. It works.
It does work.
Without question.
So there you go. I would recommend all of that. Seriously, the new foam smoothies, those are a game changer. I was pissed when they got rid of them the first time. You know, I care about the environment, but not at the cost of my smoothie melting by the time I get home.
Well, of course. It's all about personal comfort.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'll be dead before those. I would have been dead 4 times before it would have decomposed and mattered.
I don't even know any whales.
Me neither. But I know how to spell the country whales, which makes a big difference between me and the president of our United States.
Spelling's overrated.
The Prince of Wales, Whales.
Maybe he was taking a shot at his weight.
He did. He did.
No.
He did. That was,
stop it.
That was a tweet over the weekend.
No.
Well, I often have misspellings on my tweets.
You're not the president of the United States who has 9 people that are supposed to be checking the tweet before it's actually sent.
Also,
I'm blaming them.
Also, okay. it's a nation in the world that's 4 letters, like 5 letters. You can't figure that one out.
It's like, it's not that complicated, dude.
There's no H. That's all.
It's just like, come on.
It's like wine versus wine. Wine tastes good. Whining, everybody hates when people do that. You know, just know which one's which.
Huh. This is like if he would have misspelled.
Those are spelled differently.
This is like if he would have misspelled. Yes, it is. This is like if he would have misspelled the month July. It's agree. Oh, I don't want to get mad about stupid things, but that bothers me so much.
There are weird things in life that don't match up, and we need to go to break. But it's like
H.
You can talk about how privileged people are all the time. Donald Trump was as privileged as any person on planet Earth. But he still finished top of his class at some pretty doggone hard schools. And all the privileged people are there. He was not more privileged than all the other people there. He just had more notoriety because his last name was Trump. So how you can finish at the top of your class in some of the most prestigious schools in America and not be able to spell Wales or at least know to look it up is insane to me.
I generally agree. But as a person who screws up texts all the time.
You don't have a committee. You don't have a full cabinet whose one job should be, hey, I know this is weird, but the peace of the world actually relies on
this. Do you think anybody looks at it? I think he's out. I think he's way out on the.
Well, does that make him the dumb one then?
It makes him. Yeah.
Okay.
It's not the way to do it.
You are very self-aware as a general. We talk all the time. You're very self-aware. So even now throwing this out tells me that if you were president of the United States or president of anything or CEO of a little shack in the corner.
Well, Rock would be my guy. Rock, check this.
Yeah, Rock would change the entirety of the tweet, though, to make it liberal. So then you just wouldn't let him touch it.
Yeah, it wouldn't be long. He'd be fired eventually.
That's not what
I'm not here for content. I'm just here for spell check. Don't worry. I stay in my lane.
Injun Joe's cave ride.
There's a much better chance I throw in some stupid historical fact about Wales than change the entire message.
Speaking of Wales, Injun Joe's cave ride Magic Man said, Prince of Wales, a shot at Hadley out of nowhere.
Scott, I've been waiting.
Hi-oh!
Thank God somebody took that joke.
Well done,
sir. It was sitting right there.
In fact, let's just, that is his new name.
Prince of Wales. I like it. That is well done. Big Mike says, I thought we had 5 number one starters. Huh.
I think that,
That's what Chilton told us.
Something was lost in the interpretation there, yeah.
Splashback Deuce says...
I was going to say the execution, but I don't want to make a direct shot.
Oh, wow. He says, right now their pitch recognition is terrible and they're swinging with all arms because they don't have a solid balance stance.
I think there are moments that applies to just about everybody in the lineup on a given pitch and a given at bat. What I see more of a team-wide issue is guessing too much at the plate.
Mm-hmm.
And taking too many fastballs. That's also a generality, and from at-bat to at-bat, from count to count, those things can change. But as a general, I see it drives me crazy. Guys taking a fastball in a zone where they want it or where they should want it.
Yes.
And then swinging at one up in their eyes or away in the dirt.
We will finish up the text on the other side. We'll have a short segment before we finish out the hour. It's a hard line.